I'm going to call to order a special joint meeting of the Grover Beach City Council and Improvement Agency for Monday, March 29, 2010, 6:30 p.m. Yeah, we're pretty close to that. Let's all stand and let's do a salute the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Nichols. Roll call.
Councilman Board Member Bright.
Here.
Councilman Board Member Myers.
Here.
Councilman Board Member Peterson.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem and Vice Chair Nichols.
Here.
Mayor and Chair Scholes.
Here. Thank you, Donna. Public communication. Do any member of the public want to address the council slash agency this evening? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council and the improvement agency. We do not have any items on consent agenda this evening. And this takes us into our first item under City Council slash Improvement Agency business. This is item CCIA1, and this is a discussion regarding goals and work program. City Manager, Executive Director Peralt.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Tonight is a part of our budget setting process. As you'll recall, prior to every budget getting underway, the council goes through a process of setting goals and establishing a work program. We've just passed out, for your information and background, the community goals that you adopted before we started this two-year budget process in FY09 and FY10, along with the work program. The purpose of setting goals and a work program is to take a look and provide some direction. Obviously, this is a very critical budget year for us. Resources being tight as they are gives you an opportunity to think about the next couple of years and the goals and work program you'd like to establish for the organization. The city will then use, staff will then use the goals and organization as adopt a goals and work program as adopted by the council in order to facilitate the preparation of the budget from this point on. Tonight, we're going to start a little bit differently. As you'll recall, I've mentioned to the council that over the last couple of months, we've been working with WizBang, a group out of San Luis Obispo, and essentially they've presented or developed a what's called a SWOT, and essentially that takes a look at the community from its strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I think they've done a really good job of basically taking a third-person view of the community. They talked to a number of staff people. They talked to people in the community. They took a look at several of our planning documents as well as projects that were underway, etc. And I just thought their presentation might be a good way to begin this because it would set a foundation and maybe get you thinking about where we are today, more or less where we've been, and maybe where you want to take the community in the next couple of years. Also attached to the document were essentially goals and objectives that your management staff took a look and created for your use as a tool. There's no priority to those, but it is essentially putting together what our thoughts are as to goals and objectives that you might want to consider. So you also have that attached as well. And then I also, as a way of a background document, also included the status of the city report that I had previously distributed to the council. If the council does not have any questions of me at this point, I would suggest that we go ahead with the group from Whizbang and see what their presentation is.
Okay. Did anyone have any questions of Mr. Peralt? Okay.
I'd like to introduce Ellen Curtis and Jessica Gibbons, and they'll take it from here.
We're all set up here. We just don't know how to turn on the projector.
Oh. Well, welcome, Ms. Curtis and Ms. Gibbons. Good to see you both.
Thank you for having us. As Bob mentioned,
you're going to have to use a microphone, ma'am.
Okay, sure.
Sorry.
There you go. Now I'm going to have to. Oops. I'm used to work.
There it is.
Well, will that mic there work?
The wireless does not work that well.
Okay.
I'll do this. This is fine. I can do that. As Bob had mentioned, we have been working with Grover Beach for a couple of months. Initially, we were brought in to talk about a branding. And the first thing as a marketing firm, when we're talking about branding, is, well, what is your brand? Which then we all looked at each other. What is Grover Beach's brand? So Whizbang has developed a process in which we sort of look at many different factors to develop what is the brand of Grover Beach. And we have this process called a brand bang. Whizbang's background is we worked with very large clients for many long years, and we've brought this. So it's the same process I would have worked with McDonald's developing, you know, Lovin' This, Budweiser, any of those clients that I've worked with in the past. It's the same process that we brought to Grover Beach. So what we look at for a brand bang is, first, we have to understand what your brand is and what's your positioning is. What is that one thing that you can say to folks that really resonates about Grover Beach? Is we have to first look internally at Grover Beach and all the things that you have to offer. And as Bob said, we looked at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Then we also look at your competitive set. Now, it's a little bit different with products, obviously, than a city. But again, you have to look at what are the other surrounding cities and what are they saying, what are they promising to your constituents, to people visiting. So an equal playing field. And then we look at who is your target audience. Who are the people that you want to come do business here? Who are the people you want to come live here? Who are the people that are living here? So we look at all of these three factors, and then we sort of look at where are the opportunities, and then how can we speak to those opportunities? So basically, that is the document we're going to take you through. But before we do that, one of the fun things that we love to do in marketing is always have metaphors or some kind of parallels. And in doing our research for you, we really saw this nice little metaphor, and we call it the Grover Beach life cycle. One of the assets, obviously, here at Grover Beach is the monarch butterflies. Pismo claims, you know, that as well, and we'll talk about that in our SWOT analysis. But we thought we'd take you through this before we went through the document. So if you think in the life of the butterfly, we go back to 1887, where D.W. Grover hatches his plan for Grover City. Now we're in our caterpillar. Grover City grows into the home of the average man and incorporates as a city in 1959. Now we're in our chrysalis. Grover City begins its next stage of development, changing its name to Grover Beach in 1992. So there's been this progression. You're growing, you're growing, you're growing, you're developing. And I just gave away that. So come join Grover Beach in its next stage. It's a great place to spread your wings. So really seeing this opportunity, we were laughing about timelines. You know, it takes some people longer to blossom than others. But there has been, if you look, as we have looked at from the inception to now, there really has been a very planned growth and development of Grover Beach. So we're really excited to take you through our findings. I'm going to pass over, because we're going to go through the SWOT analysis first, which is strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats. And Jessica and I are going to go back and forth on that. And the group we talked to wasn't a large survey group, but it definitely was representative. We talked to people from outside the area that didn't know Grover Beach at all. We talked to people that are longtime residents of the Central Coast. We talked to teachers. We talked to law enforcement. We talked to real estate agents, which was really important because those are the people when bringing new residents in, their opinions, they're the first salesman on your door. So what their opinions were. And so a lot of this, you'll see we have quotes from them. Of course, to get people to talk candidly, we don't, you know, use their names, but we just attribute it to if they were resident or a law enforcement agency. So I'm going to hand this over to Jess.
Okay. So we start with strengths. Gerber Beach is a close-knit community based. It's walkable, has high diversity. Gerber Beach is low-key and has nice people. It really feels like the Central Coast. That was a quote from a local resident. Gerber Beach is a safe place to live. Gerber has a surprisingly low crime compared to other Central Coast cities, said a local law enforcement officer. And a real estate agent quoted, at least it's not Oceano. Gerber Beach has a wide range of affordable housing. The rent ratio is high compared to other Central Coast cities. Renters to homeowners is 50 to 50. A real estate agent quoted, Gerber is a great place to step up. It is a great place for first-time buyers to settle down and a good place to invest. I've always made money on my investments, said another real estate agent. It has great ocean views for 30% less than other beach towns. And it's AG adjacent, and then it's a lot more affordable. Gerber Beach enjoys phenomenal views of the ocean and Arroyo Grande Valley from residential areas. They enjoy typical Central Coast beach weather, which we all know is very nice. Has a well-developed parks and recreational facilities. Currently, they're the only city that has a only skate park before Santa Maria. It's one of the main entrances to the Oceano Dunes. It lies adjacent to the Monarch Grove. It has a historical train station, which currently plans to upgrade and expand. Gerber Beach is situated at the historical Highway 1. It has a progressive and involved city council. It's enthusiastic to try something new. And the city has a strong history as well as vision. And currently the mayor is highly visible and has a positive reputation. Gerber Beach is taking initiative to increasing entrepreneurial opportunities through seminars through the Chamber of Commerce. Previous seminars have proved to be a success for local business owners.
And what was the example of that?
They were working with collaboration and had one that was filled up and really successful, as far as we hear. And Gerber Beach hosts the annual Stone Soup Music Festival, Ethnic Street Fair, and Dune Run. They also facilitate weekly farmers market and concerts during the summer and has 135 acres of industrial land.
Okay, so hopefully all those strengths are not news to you guys, that you say, yes, that all sounds good. Now I get to deliver the weaknesses.
Some of them are surprising to us, and I'm kidding. About we'll that just mayor.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because we did talk to a lot of folks, and surprisingly, everyone seems to know you. Oh. In a positive way. Weaknesses. Okay, so in February 2010, most housing on the market are short sale or bank-owned properties. 64 listings, 39 were short sale. Is that higher than other cities in the county? A little bit, but not significantly so. And it's also just what's going on in the economy. Older housing stock, many people are looking to buy newer homes. Again, I don't think that's news to you. Real estate agents, it's interesting. You know, they can be pretty harsh. Your neighbor can have a chain link fence, meaning you know you could have a nice property and then there's a not so nice property right next door, and that's difficult for the agents. The majority of Central Coast residents interviewed had the perception that Gerber Beach has a negative or non-reputation, and I'll explain that. Outsiders don't really, they haven't formed an opinion. You know, they don't know if they're looking at what we heard over and over again, if they're looking at property in AG, an agent will take them to Grover and say, hey, you're just a block away, but you're saving 30%. And so that was a great selling point. To people that lived here, I mean, they've had some kind, you know, just with all small towns, everybody has their own perception of each town and what it is. And so that's where the negative or non-reputation came from. Real estate agents typically sell properties to people from out of the area. Many Gerber Beach residents like the city as it is and are resistant to change or outsiders. I don't know if you guys have one of these bumper stickers, but it says, keep Gerber Beach funky. Currently, there's no distinct identity, and that's part of why we were called in, because there is no real branding. Some parts are visually unappealing. You have to You have to drive by all that awful crap to get to good properties. I mean, again, we don't filter this. We're going to give you the good, bad, and the ugly here. Can't build much better than the property around you. Streets lack universal infrastructure. There's inconsistent sidewalks and curbs. Again, nothing new for you. It's not Pleasantville. It's funky. And one law enforcement officer told us there's a lot of illegal conversions. Website, which you currently have, does not express lifestyle of Grover Beach. We've noticed when we were looking at the competitive set, your neighbors to the north and south all have happy, smiling people at the beach, or some subset of that. No central location that businesses are located. You have a spread-out corridor. No reason to get out of my car here, says a local business owner. There are still a lot of empty lots. Little signage or city limit distinction, hard to know when crossing into Grover Beach, no sign or main exit off of the 101 freeway. Not a lot of businesses in Grover Beach, which then is resonating with what you were talking about tonight, smaller tax base. Limited lot size prevent new businesses with a large number of employees from locating in Grover Beach. Your sweet spot is small business, which you'll see in the opportunities. The industrial area has really poor broadband connection, and we heard that, again, from business owners, that that really impedes them. The positives, you have to have internet. There is low awareness of Grover Beach's assets. Grover Beach is just very undermarketed. Grover Beach has not been discovered, says one local realtor, and Grover Beach is undermarketed. Again, we heard this over and over again with everyone we talked to. It's like Grover Beach is the next great thing. Grover Beach is coming into its own. So, and we heard that from all different types of folks. And you're shadowed by surrounding more visible cities. You know, SLO is always taking the spotlight. And last, lacking general services, no hospital or high school, few hotels with lower ratings. Local residents assume there's little beachfront space for relaxing. I don't know if you ever heard this one, where debris meets the sea, but that's been was a tagline that I guess been floating around. Low awareness of activities offered at the beach in Grover Beach. Many assume only off-roading. Currently, there are few beachfront amenities. The Oceana Dunes. Now, sometimes our weaknesses can be opportunities. Mm-hmm. I think in this case, you'll see Oceana Dunes will come up as an opportunity. Accidents are perceived as frequent on the dunes due to the high media coverage. The reality is there's not many, but the ones that are receive a lot of attention. Trailer parks, dunes, and driving the beach doesn't attract the right audience, this upscale audience that was a real estate agent. Again, we're not filtering this, so you can take it all in perspective. Not many destination restaurants to draw visitors. And I think that's that. Now,
so we have a bunch of opportunities, which is good news. First one is to promote tourism and family activities that are available, such as hiking, fishing, clamming, golfing, horseback riding, wine tasting, off-roading, camping, wildlife. All of this is accessible through Grover Beach, but not necessarily advertised. The beach provides unique activities specifically in Grover Beach, including the hiking the sand dunes and building bonfires on the beach. Not a lot of other beaches have that. Establish multi-purpose trails for exercising and recreational activities from the Beach City Trail Visibility Study. To establish a destination location to attract tourists and residents of the Central Coast. So we know that the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center is on its way, and it's going to be a huge opportunity to leverage this development to attract other businesses. Another opportunity is to provide more visitor services near the beach. And that involves changing zoning from industrial to more visitor services. To expand the tourism activities, again, hotels, restaurants, shops, the Monarch Grove, it's in Grover Beach too, so Pismo can't claim it all. And we thought it'd be a great opportunity to create a follow the Monarch path from the train station.
I don't know if you know this, but Amtrak does market the stop at Grover to go to the Monarch.
Mm-hmm.
So you could leverage that as well. It's a really easy thing to do.
And another opportunity, stronger development of transportation systems. Again, doing an Amtrak, just advertising that more.
Right. We looked at schedules. You could take a train from SLO to Grover and back with kids, and you can go to the Butterfly, and you could do it all within 2 hours. It'd be a fun thing to do.
Another opportunity, like Ellen said, is the Oceana Dunes. It's the only one in California and the second in the nation that allows vehicles to drive on the beach. So we see this as an opportunity. It calls for a niche group that needs places to eat, sleep, and shop. And there was a Cal Poly study in 2007 that said visitors spend $1.2 million on goods and services annually in the local area. Another opportunity to establish a greater sense of community visible to outsiders. So, you know, you already have that sense of community. It's all about marketing it and creating awareness of activities that are fun and engaging for families and using social media to build a fan base. We didn't include it in this condensed report, but we did a lot of social media based around the surrounding cities, and they're out there. You know, SLO and a lot of the other cities have a high fan base on Facebook and Twitter. So build and expand this tight-knit community, promote the current events, and create new events. Again, we thought about doing a monarch butterfly kite-flying event. Leverage what you have. You can create awareness in the surrounding Central Coast cities for city improvements. A quote from a local realtor was, "There's a general sense that Gover Beach is going to bloom someday." So we all, you know, doing this research, we found that this is it. You guys are starting to, and you know, really developing it. So we just need to make it known. Another one, draw in young entrepreneurs and working professionals from Cal Poly. And continuing to apply for the broadband grant. And developing the civic hub near the transit center. We thought were really good opportunities. Continuing, we see an opportunity for increased signage and promotional materials inside the train station itself. We took a tour there, and there isn't that much. There's a good opportunity. The one brochure we did find was from San Diego.
I mean, it's a great place to leave information. It's not costly or anything. It's just giving people some information, like if they wanted to walk to the Grove or they wanted to know more about the town, just bring whatever you had at the chamber and have some kind of kiosk there.
Another opportunity we talked about is you've plans to modify the street landscaping and define areas of the town, such as medians around the Grand Avenue. We also thought it'd be great to designate historic districts, such as the Beach District, you know, Grover Heights District. These are just examples, Community Center District, Tech District, with signage.
And we've seen other cities do that with some success. I mean, even in St. Louis, they have the little Chinatown District, you know, which is mm-hmm. all of four buildings, but they still have it marked off, and it's a point of interest.
So an opportunity we talked about is you currently have plans to redesign the city's website to better display Grover Beach's personality. It'd be a great opportunity to advertise the current incentives and tax credits and rebates for first-time home buyers. Properties are selling faster. Days on the market average 94 compared to 234 a year ago. There's an opportunity to create real estate seminars to educate both residential and commercial agents about the benefits of living, buying, and investing in Grover Beach.
We found when we were talking to these agents, they were so curious, like, what's going on down there? I would love to hear more. You know what you should do? You should have a seminar. You know, so when you're on, you know, going and seeing things, they would love, because like I said, they're your first front to new people or people thinking of relocating to the area. So if you can get them singing from your hymn book, it'd be great.
Yeah, and we have there that offers a solution to the county's pressing issue of affordable housing. You know, a lot of people want to live on the Central Coast but can't afford it. And we talked about the strawberry fields and identifying them as a gem of Grover Beach. Until we took a tour, you know, I had never heard of them. And you always hear about the Strawberry Festival in Arroyo Grande, but I didn't know that that was such a great part of Grover Beach.
Okay. Threats. So there's a low number of head of household jobs in Grover. Some facts we picked up was the average household income is about $50,000. There's no place to work in Grover. Some people think blue-collar neighborhoods are unpredictable, next door to the unknown. The median house price decreased 14%. Again, I think that's just a reflection of the overall economy. I don't think that's particular to each a reason to enter. I thought changing the name to Grover Beach really helped connect with that beach, but now you have this physical barrier, very much like the grade. Who goes up the grade? It's like, you know, got to have your wagon and head up north.
It's a real psychological barrier. This area looks like Anytown, USA. The railroad acts as a barrier for Grover Beach. Again, we could use that as a positive and take advantage of that and tell people where to go once they come to the railroad. There's other cities like Santa Barbara, Carpinteria, Solana Beach that have all dealt with this in a positive way. So it's a threat, but it could be built upon. The amenities at the park, it's titled Pismo, even though it's located in Grover. Something to consider. Mm-hmm. Pismo is known as the beach community and the major surf hub. You know, Pismo steals a lot of thunder.
Absolutely.
Right? The Monarch Grove is associated with Pismo again. Not Grover Beach, but it is in Grover Beach. This is just a side note. The science is showing that the butterfly population is decreasing. They don't know why. That could be just a temporary flux, and it could go back. But if you're going to market the butterflies, you might better have butterflies. So something to think about. Possibility of closing the dune access to vehicles will cost the South County about $2 million in revenue a year. So that's been in the headlines lately. So that's something else to consider. 68% of visitors to the Oceana Dunes camp overnight on the dunes, so we're not really looking for hotel beds, this crowd. Budget cuts may pose difficulty when implementing new city projects. In addition, the dependence on one addition to stimulate and change Grover Beach, with this conference center that's in the works, I mean, we don't want it to turn into the Carlton, which is now probably going to be in foreclosure. Mm-hmm. So if you build your whole city around one, it could be a threat. And, of course, you know, all the other cities have lots of major events. I mean, there's plenty to do here on the Central Coast, and a lot of these events are really well established and have been marketed very well, and that's just sort of a list of them, and I'm sure everyone has their favorites which they go to. But, for example, the Stone Soup has, a fighting chance. It has a good following. It's grown over the years. It's one of those opportunities to take forward. And these are just some sources. So the competitive analysis, I'm going to have Jess do this. In our other version, this is just truncated for our presentation. So we don't want to run out of time, but just to give you an idea. Here you go, Jess. Bring yourself. And the reason we put in Santa Maria was more for the business. Oh, sorry. One of the reasons, I'm terrible. We put in Santa Maria is for businesses because when they're considering business space, you know, factory space, they're going to be looking at Santa Maria, and all the South cities deal with that because space is fairly, there's a lot of it in Santa Maria, and it is affordable. So that's competitive. So now we know internally what's going on in the city. We sort of know who your competitors are. So the next step, this is a little marketing map, and we divide into quadrants, low yield, cost of entry, key drivers, and value added. And these quadrants are sort of, you look at your target audience and you say, okay, what is those things that make people make their decisions? So low yield is something like Grover Beach has plenty of parking. Well, that's great, but that's not really the big reason why people would live here or work here or move here. Cost of entry are those things that you have to have. And key drivers, those are the things that are going to really resonate with folks and the reason why they would consider bringing their business here, consider visiting here, consider moving here and living here. And then value added is sort of the Nordstrom effect, I call it. It's that extras that you can provide up and beyond that's like, wow, they have all this and, which would really help in the marketing proposition. So low yield, we didn't put any in there. Cost of entry of any city is it has to be safe, and it has to have basic amenities. The key drivers in this case for Grover Beach is your location is fantastic. It's a huge, huge plus. Location, location, location. You're near the beach. You're close, you know, for people that work south or work north. It's really ideal. Affordability. We heard this over and over again when we talked to folks. That Grover is this undiscovered gem that if you wanted to have beach living, you could really do it here. It's probably one of the only cities that you can. And again, that plays out in business, affordable, available commercial space. Value added is you have distinguished recreational facilities. The train station is great. It's close. It's convenient. You have a great, tight-knit community. walkable community, which is one of the few here on the Central Coast. Not that everyone's out and about walking, but if you wanted to, you could. And you could promote that with all types of different programs. And, of course,
local residents and the Central Coast visitors.
So you can see how all of our findings are sort of built. Here's your opportunity. Okay. And who is this opportunity for? So you have several different targets that you're talking to. You have your residents, you have your businesses, you have your visitors, and you have your investors. And we broke that down demographically. Target motivations. Again, this is where we get into how can we motivate, what is those things that we can tell people about Grover Beach. And this is an exercise that we do with all brands because people react not rationally to marketing messages, obviously. Why do we, you know, think Mercedes is the best car ever? So we break it down into quadrants. First, rationally, what do I know about Grover Beach? And this is not necessarily where you are now, but where you could be. Grover Beach is a small town and is part of the five city areas of Slo County. So very factual, rational mind. Physical, how does this brand feel to touch? So if you walked around here, how would you feel about it? Grover Beach is a funky little town on the Central Coast. Emotionally, how do I feel about the brand? Grover Beach is working to better itself, like me. Status, of course, that always plays into marketing. What do other people think of me if I live in Grover Beach or I'm associated with Grover Beach? And we think, people think I'm a hard worker and smart with my money. Knowing that your opportunity is location and affordability, it says a lot for people that will come in and invest. Your time genre, where does Grover Beach live, is contemporary with a strong history. And fictional beliefs. Now, this is the part where most marketing lives. Things I believe about the brand based on fantasy and lore. Grover Beach is a place I can grow. So we, in marketing, you would want to position it, Grover Beach is a place of opportunity, is a place you could grow. It's not really completely fictional. It actually ties in nicely with everything else that's going on. So we get to the positioning, and this is really the meat of the matter. All brands have a positioning statement. It's very simple. It's just a simple expression of what an organization wants its product or services to stand for in the mind of the target audience. It's not a clever statement. It's just nuts and bolts. So we could call it, you could be your elevator statement, but it's something that puts everybody on the same page. Mm-hmm. Grover Beach is a community-oriented coastal city offering diverse. And here's why this positioning is believable.
So a lot of these are strengths we talked about, but it acts as support for the positioning statement. So we'd like to recap diverse and affordable housing, the rentals, PUDs, beach bungalows, large gated hilltop homes, California salt boxes, and vintage deco buildings. It's very diverse. A variety of investment income producing properties, AG adjacent without the attitude or the place, price. Availability and affordable commercial space. So your price per square foot is typically lower than Pismo, Rio Grande, and San Luis Obispo. A diverse commercial space is available and perfect for emerging entrepreneurial companies. Also, it's community-orientated activities with farmers markets, stunt suit festivals, Central Coast celebration events, and an active city government. It has a central location on the Central Coast, perfectly situated for commuting to Slo to the north and to the Santa Maria and to the south for work. It's 5 minutes from the beach and it's 15 minutes to the vineyards.
So out of the positioning also comes this brand personality. If you're considering doing branding, if you're considering doing signage, well, what would that be and what will it say? And how will it feel and how will I feel about it when I see it? So after doing all of this research and talking to folks, you know, the brand personality is how the brand walks and talks. So if Grover Beach was a person, they would be defined as friendly, optimistic, and genuine. And it really came out of talking to a bunch of folks and really the opportunity that is in store for Grover Beach. It's really very unique from our perspective, from a, you know, objective third party. And that's that. So So I don't know if you do questions, or if we have time.
Well, why don't you hold on? Okay. Great presentation, and we appreciate the good, the bad. Mm-hmm. I don't know about, there's no ugly in that, mm-hmm. but constructive information is always good. So I'm sure we've got questions, and if she's ready, I'd like to start with Councilmember Peterson. You have any questions?
Actually,
or comments.
I guess my next thought is, it seems like I recalled seeing somewhere some suggestions for what's our next step with all of this. How do
we see a whole lot of emphasis in your document about our parks and park system? I think we have a whole lot of parks for a community of this size, and they're well run, and we have a crackerjack lady that runs the park, and so they're accessible and advertised. So I just wondered, what my question is, did the people, as you talk to them, seem to be aware of what a great park system we have and what we're developing in terms of park system? We got two or three great parks coming up, besides the park that will finally emerge from the urban center there at the Ramona Pacific Plan. And I just wanted to, our citizens seem to be aware of what we, the people here in the City Hall, is trying to do for them, so park-wise.
Right. Well, if we do have it listed as a strength, I think the overall, the headline is that there you do have a lot of things going for you, but just no one knows about it mm-hmm. outside of the area. You know, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. The more people we talk to, you say, oh, did you know about this?
Absolutely.
Really? Wow, that's cool. And I think that's why we were talking to real estate agents. They suggested doing the seminar because they weren't familiar with all the assets.
Yeah. Then I had one more same question. Basically, we have what we call the Ramona Pacific Plan here in our world, which came online in 2002. And its stated goal is to envision a development of educational, culture, and recreational center that will serve as a focal point for our world and as a focal point for developing our city into that world. And it also is to tie into what we're doing between the lower end of Grand Avenue. And I don't see that mentioned other than you have two words, the hub, city hub, stuck somewhere in this packet here. And that's the only mention I see of it. And again, I'm wondering, were you given a copy of the Ramona plan to look at? First question. And second question, did the citizens seem to be aware of what that's all about?
We weren't given the Ramona plan. Obviously, we would have included it.
The first I've heard of it.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty significant document. It was the big thing that came out of a visioning program we had here, and it's well on its way. Phase 2 and Phase 1 are both completed with transit hubs and 2, but apparently not.
Well, and we did spend time at the chamber, and I would imagine that would have been marketed at the chamber. And
well, anyway, that was my question, my curiosity. I'm not pointing fingers at you or anybody else, actually.
But I think it highlights that undermarketed.
I think you're making a point, and we all like what you've done here, I think. At least I do.
Yeah, I'll hold my comments. Councilmember Wright, do you have anything?
I have comments, no questions.
Okay, you want to hold on to your comments, or you want to?
Are we at the comment stage?
I think we're going to be a little more informal tonight, right, so if then. You'd like to.
Well, okay, then I'll just dive right in here. First of all, thank you. It was really a good presentation. I enjoyed it very much. Well, not so much parts of it, but most of it I enjoyed. I must say, though, that I did not know any of those city slogans, any of the other city slogans, except for the Clam Capital. That was the only one I knew, and I think because it's everywhere in Pismo. You know, it's on all their little clam things and all like that. So I think that's a lesson to us. But none of the others did I know. I didn't even know San Luis Obispo's. I didn't even know they had a slogan. So I liked some of your ideas, like follow the monarch path from the train station. I thought that was great. And some of your other event ideas, I think that's something that we really need to do. I have truly thought of Grover Beach as a bedroom community to San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria for ever since I've lived here, 25 years. And so I think that is truly something that we do need to, we need to get that information out to people, that that is what we are. We're never going to be San Luis or Santa Maria, nor would we want to be. That's not who we are. I was just at a meeting today, a small, intimate meeting, and Lois Capps was there, and she said, when I said I was from Grover Beach, and she said, talk about a place for an opportunity to grow, and that's exactly what we are. And so I think you really captured that in your discussions with the people in our town as well as those who know about our town. I really also like the idea of designating the districts, Grover Heights District, whatever those districts are. I think that kind of does add a little bit of depth to your town, even though people, it may only be four blocks. That's what we need to do. And I think that's the end of my comments, but I really appreciate your work, and I think you did a fine job. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Really enjoyed it.
Good comment. Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
I have a couple of things. One is a question, and I don't know where it's at right at the moment, but in one place, and incidentally, thank you for the report. I think you've done an excellent job. One place in the report you make mention of the fact that the Monarch Grove is adjacent to Grover Beach. Another place in your report you say that the Monarch Grove is located in Grover Beach. If I am correct in looking at the maps and looking and trying to find out exactly where it is, it looks to me like it's just inside the city limits of Pismo Beach. Do we know exactly where it's at? Does anybody know? Am I right, wrong?
I don't know.
Pardon?
Right
on the borderline of
but the eucalyptus trees span Highway 1 right over into Grover Beach across the train tracks. The train tracks don't deter butterflies.
Right. I think we need to clarify that. And I agree that we don't get the mileage out of the monarch butterflies that we should get. So we do need to concentrate on that. But I think we also need to recognize that it is located in Pismo Beach. The other thing I'm concerned about is we have the Beachfront Lodge and Convention Center coming in on our beach at the end of Grand Avenue. And I'm a little bit concerned. I haven't heard any conversation yet. But when that facility is completed, and I don't know exactly what it's going to be called, but let's say, for example, it's called the Kazanowitz Beachfront Lodge and Convention Center, located on the Pismo State Beach at the end of Grand Avenue and Grover Beach. And that really concerns me that we haven't done anything yet to clarify that. And that's the last thing I want to hear is somebody tell me about this Beachfront Lodge and Convention Center that's located on the Pismo State Beach. We got to do something to change that. And we probably won't come up with the Kazanowitz Lodge, but I just thought I'd use that.
God, it's hopeful.
Okay. That it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think point well taken on the Monarch Butterfly Grove, but I would have to agree with Councilmember Peterson because, quite honestly, it is a shared resource. Our proximity says that certainly the Monarch, but good because we feel like, you know, we do these things and it's always great to have a third party come in and kind of validate that, you know, because that really is going to speak to the issue of have our goals been going in the right direction, have our goals had meaning and purpose, or is it just busy work? And it's good to hear that. And the weaknesses, you know, some of it's tough to take, but I think you're right. Don't filter it. Let us know what it is. I think there was really only one thing on there that I hadn't heard before, which is where the debris meets the sea. So I'm going to be looking for that code enforcement person, so they better not be working in Grover Beach.
Well, actually, we heard it from a couple people.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, dear, I shouldn't attribute it, but...
No, that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. I just got my antennas up now. That's all. But certainly, I'm, and anyone who knows me, when you say optimistic, that's me. And I think we've got a lot of optimistic people who understand that weaknesses really mean opportunity. And so you've done a really good job at laying this out. And to tell you the truth, the first thing that pops into my mind, and I think it's the unifying theme, is we've been working really hard to improve this community, you know, 8 years, 4 years, or however long I've been on the council, probably even before that. But we haven't done a good enough job going out there telling our story and getting information out there, because that's the same experience I've had when I go places and then I say, did you know we're doing this, 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 and this? And people go, really? We got to do a better job of telling a story. We got to do a better job, as you said, of upgrading our website and telling the story, because we are an optimistic bunch. We are a friendly community. And, you know, I understand we have a stigma of having low resources, and a lot of folks who have worked here and who've been on the council and commissions in the past, and I'll be honest, have said, well, we have no money, therefore we shouldn't do too many grand things and we shouldn't get out ahead of ourselves. And we've been trying to say, no, that's not the way you improve yourself. You really set high goals and you go out there and you really need to be proactive and make it happen. So I think this is really a great foundation for us to build on. So the question I do want to ask of all my colleagues, I think you tell a great story. And the first PowerPoint you showed, where you talked about the, you know, when D.W. Grover came and you used the monarch butterfly and you ended with spread your wings in Grover Beach or something along those lines. I think that's a great tagline. And I know there are people who've said, you know, what about something beach related? But I think we all believe, at least I can tell you, I believe with all my
or with it, I mean, your logo or your city seal has a seagull with its wings spread. It doesn't necessarily have to go with the butterfly. But there is, this is great opportunity.
Well, and I, the next question, if there's a consensus on, hey, we like the direction this is going, let's refine it. I think the question does, we've been searching for a mascot, something that represents us, and I agree with both of you. Why are we allowing Pismo Beach to take all of the credit on the Monarchs when it is, in fact, a shared resource? And the idea, I think, Karen, you talked about having a monarch walking path from the train station. So why couldn't the monarch butterfly be our official mascot? Now, do we need to go trademark that? Will our neighbors to the north take exception? It won't be the first time. But, I mean, come on. You know, it's time for us to really stand up and be counted. So, I mean, what does everyone think of that? Is that something we should explore a little further?
I agree with this lady here. We should be cautious about adopting the monarch as our trademark, because the numbers are decreasing and decreasing and decreasing. And I've been following that for the last few years. And there's no reason, known reason, why they're decreasing, and no plan about how to stop them from decreasing. We may get a butterfly logo and don't have any butterflies, and that wouldn't be too too good to hook our star to. Grover Beach failed again. I mean, I can hear that being said. So
yeah, but. Look at Pismo Beach.
Look at the clam.
Can anyone tell me if they found a clam in Pismo?
Right. Yeah, but they're already there. They're not building the image. They built that image when the clams were there, though. So.
The one thing about the monarch butterfly, that whole reserve is really undermarketed. It's really a wonder of the world. It's a really an amazing thing, and it's right here. And no one's taking advantage of it, and there could be a lot of really positive public relations adopting that and being a guardian of that and embracing it. I mean, to Pismo, they don't care about that. They're dealing with a beachy, surfy set, and that's not their thing. So I think there's lots and lots of upside to it.
I would love to see us do the monarch, and we could do wonderful things like butterflies at the beach and follow the yellow brick road, only it would be the butterfly trail. We could have little butterflies set in the pavement.
I like it. Creative juices are flowing.
And butterflies at the beach.
I mean, it's definitely a destination. It's a reason to come here. So
off-season. Okay. It's a reason to come off-season.
Oh.
It's even more important.
So it sounds like there's at least a consensus to explore this a little further, maybe refine it, and, you know, if there is some, well, if our neighbors to the north or someone raise exception, there's nothing that says that the butterfly couldn't be yellow.
Well, and the monarch butterfly flies through my yard all the time.
Oh, they're in my yard all the time, too.
Me, too.
So.
Okay, hey, I like that.
And we could even put a little butterfly up there instead of a seagull. but retain our same logo that some of our clients, our same, yeah, that some of our members like so much.
Okay. So that sounds good. I think there was a lot of other great suggestions, and we talk about the stone soup. I mean, I think people would be shocked to know that we're going into what, our 19th, almost 20th year, Kathy? I'm amazed. You know, it's free music. It is a great event, and I know that the Chamber doesn't have a lot of money to do this advertising, so we really have to find a way to market ourselves a lot better. I really feel like we're working really hard and doing all these great things, and we're not out there telling people about it, and we need to do that a lot better. So I think the presentation is timely. It's great to build on that, and so I think we certainly want to maybe build on the theme. I know you had talked, there was a mission statement, so the sort of the 30-second elevator speech. Did anyone have any? I think we have that now.
Can you put that in the PowerPoint, the positioning?
Oh. The mission statement, I'm sorry. Positioning statement? Or
positioning statement.
I'm sorry, is it a positioning statement?
Yeah. Why positioning? Is it on page 34 or thereabouts?
33?
33.
Yeah.
31, 33.
33,
actually.
30.
Wait.
33.
Sorry. It's always the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Better wings, they could be butterfly wings, I guess.
Yeah. Any thoughts on this?
Well, it's true. That's the first thought, too. It's understandable. I don't think it said a whole lot about the excitement of...
Decide which messages are the most important messages, mm-hmm. where we know weather is important. That's a value added. You know, AG can say we got great weather. Pismo could say we have great weather. Yes. But really what Grover has going for it is this location near the beach, the affordable housing and affordable commercial space. And we know when people are looking at places to live and settle down, these are really, really important factors. These are things true. That they need to hear.
Okay.
Well, that does kind of encompass it all, actually.
Yeah,
any thoughts?
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I happened to have a conversation with a woman. I was actually trying to sell her on our industrial area. And she was saying, but what about the crime rate? And I said, you need to look at the crime statistics,
sure.
because ours are very low. If you compare them, because I think you were there, John, she was talking about maybe going to Paso.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't know if that would be something appropriate for a positioning statement, but I think that is very important to people that are looking to move to a community.
Absolutely.
Especially young families who would like to.
Maybe a safe, convenient. I don't know. But that's something that is going to, we're going to get that word out the more we go out and talk to folks as
right.
ambassadors
and,
of the community.
And again, that in our quadrant was the cost of entry. People, the first thing, they want to know that they're going to live in a safe community and
yes.
they have basic amenities. So it's like once you cross that hurdle, what's that extra thing that they absolutely need to hear? So I wouldn't even consider living somewhere that was not safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
The statement doesn't actually say that Grover Beach sets right on the beach mm-hmm. or has a beach as part of its community. It says it's a coastal city. But I think there should be another way to phrase that where we actually mm-hmm. somehow mention that we actually have a beach here, which a lot of cities don't. Mm-hmm. I suspect Arroyo Grande might call itself a coastal community. Mm-hmm. It is right on the coast, but it doesn't have a beach.
Right, so you could add it. And then we get into wordsmithing.
Yeah,
which,
yeah. and I realize
right,
that.
But we could just add, you know, for example, not saying this is the solution, but I'm just throwing out there, a convenient central coast location on the beach.
Or change coastal to beach.
Yeah,
right.
Beach
oriented
city.
Beach city.
Beach city, right. So.
Yeah, I just
okay.
didn't want
okay,
to overlook.
Yeah,
I think that's very.
Consensus around that to at least take a look at it and refine it, you know, and maybe come back. the monarch butterfly as the mascot. And I have to tell you, I was walking in the community maybe a year and a half ago, and I had someone come up to me and said, you know, when are we going to change the city's name from Grover Beach to Monarch Beach and then make the monarch our mascot? And I thought, that's a great idea, but I didn't have that much political capital at that point. or people were talking about streets and some of the other things more than that. But I think this is a great opportunity, and I think we're pretty uniform or unanimous, and let's go forward and develop that as our mascot. And I don't know if our neighbors will see this and feel like they need to take some action, but I think someone needs to research and see, can a monarch butterfly be trademarked? I'm sorry, I work in this business. I've been doing this, and so it always comes to mind of people go and they take website names and do all the derivatives and buy them. Mm-hmm. So I think we want to find out about that before we get too far down the road on this.
We know that Whiz Bang wants to have the concession stand at the train station selling all the butterfly merchandise.
Well, sounds good. I think we're off to a great start. So then let's talk about next steps. And I know that Councilmember Peterson talked about that. So, Deb, you have any thoughts on next steps, or do you want me to ask Ellen if she could give us what they would suggest?
I'd like to hear what they'd suggest, and, okay. and it's much easier to edit than it is to create.
Yes. I don't know if we have... Because you're right, the longer version had a really long list of options, you know, really exploring every marketing channel and every activity. It would really encompass, you know, many, many things, and I would have to take a look at that. Do you have that, Jess? Well, with all marketing efforts, the first thing we do is planning. So planning would be include your goals for building awareness for your new positioning, and then that would cover budget, strategies, key messages to meet those goals, as well as we put it in a marketing plan, obviously, mm-hmm. so it's all laid out. We do everything on an annual budget-based. Okay, here's the activities that we want to do, and here's the numbers and the activities associated. So planning is mm-hmm. a really big step. We don't do any part of that. Public relations, which I would probably say would be your biggest marketing activity, we would develop a plan, which would be social media. What would you do on social media? Whiz Bang creates social media programs, and they're all goals and strategy-based. I think San Luis Obispo has nearly 14,000 fans that connect on their Facebook page. They were the biggest one. So we do public relations. And then once we have all our plans in place and we have our budgets, then we get down to creating things. Mm-hmm. So that would be, what we do is this thing called a creative brief, which basically is the foundation for all creative work that we look at. So creative work, branding work, which you guys have already talked about. A lot of things in here I think you've already considered or in process of. So revisiting the logo and the city signage, which I know you have discussed, graphic guidelines. This is a big one where we make a booklet that says this is how you can use the logo. This is not the way you can use the logo. Never use the logo like this.
Okay.
And so say that there is a T-shirt shop that wants to make Grover Beach T-shirts to sell down at the train station. They know exactly how they can use that logo. And that helps keep brand consistency, because nothing squanders your budget or your brand capital by having your name appear in different ways. Said, are you just Grover? Are you Grover Beach? So you want to really control that. And the graphic guidelines do that. Develop a tagline, which we discussed. Develop an ad campaign. Develop a brochure for business and investors. I think it's really important when you're addressing businesses that you address their needs. They're different than the needs of the residents. So I'm sure Bruce deals with this all the time. People come in and say, well, what do you have with, you know, rather than him repeating it all the time, you can put it in a nice brochure, and it's not just fluff, but real assets that you have here in the community for businesses. An email newsletter. The day of sending stuff in the mail is really decreasing. Email is much more effective, and you're only going to reach the people who want to be reached because they'll opt in. And again, with social media and digital online, everything is tied together. So the people that are on your website, we could get their name and we could send them an email blast and telling them all the great things. Right now, all your press releases are sort of buried in your website. So if you wanted to know what was going on, you really wouldn't have quick access to it. Yeah. And you have a lot of great things going on. So a newsletter would be great. And of course, all of that, the content we could help build, develop campaigns. So say you're going to have the Stone Soup event. Instead of spending a ton of money on ads, you could send, of course, for PR. This is a long list. For PR, we would build our media list, which would be local and out-of-the-area news, businesses, visitor, trade, and consumer outlets. So we would want to send your release to, like, Sunset Magazine's having this huge event up in Santa Margarita. Well, how could you be part of that? They're going to be sending people all the way down to Santa Maria, and how can we have them stop here? Okay. So part of that is building your media outlet. Electronic media kit. This is just a fundamental of public relations. You don't have to, every time you get a request for something, you don't have to recreate the wheel. You have this document that's in PDF form that talks about your positioning and all your support, and you just send it away. And people can pick it up and then call for quotes to back it up.
Can I make a quick comment about that? There is, in our research, we were looking at all these materials about the different areas, surrounding areas, and any place where it talked about the Central Coast in general, we'd see, you know, paragraphs and paragraphs of, you know, Pismo Beach and San Luis, and then there'd be this itty-bitty paragraph of Grover Beach, and it's like, we, you know, it broke our hearts after doing all this research and knowing so many great things about Grover, and it's like, again, increasing the awareness and making sure that, you know, the electronic media kits and press releases would cover all the information so people would be aware that it has a lot more out there.
Right, and these are things that are just real basics. They're not, you know, high-ticket items. It's just some of the things just to have at your disposal to get the word out. And then, again, I really build a Facebook page and populate it, a Twitter page, which we do, and all those things. I know. It always makes everybody laugh.
That's okay. No, well, I figured at least three of us knew what you meant when you say social media networking, but right. I'm not going to tell you which three of us up here.
Right. Believe it or not,
well,
the festival.
Maybe two at that table.
It's interesting. Facebook is the most visited website on the Internet beyond Google, if you can believe that. And how many of us use Google every day? It grows exponentially every day. It's really an amazing tool. Blog posts, website. Let's see if there was anything else that was sort of out of the ordinary. And then, of course, after we do all the creative, so we do our planning, we do our creative development, then we do implementation. So that's putting those things out there. And then, of course, what we always do is monitor. So we can see if these efforts are successful. If they're not, we change course. And everything that we do can be measurable.
At our hands on the economic development has been that we don't have anything to hand to people to say, this is where you can spread your wings. And so I think even in the SWOT analysis that we received, there wasn't enough emphasis on the economic development, probably because no one knows we've got 135 acres available. So that, I think we really need to have a specific plan just for economic development and how we're going to, who those markets are and how we'll reach those markets. And it's probably not Facebook and Twitter. It's probably a whole different.
Right. Well, in each target audience, there's different tactics that will work.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be my biggest comment. The rest of it, I'm really pleased about.
So why don't we do this? I know we still have to talk about goals tonight. This has been a lot of great information, a lot of great ideas. I think we've gotten consensus on several items, but I believe the next steps really, when we talk about, and this will be for us to discuss goals, when we talk about economic development, I think the issue of, or the item of putting together a marketing plan is something that we're going to want to make sure we fold into our goals, and then to implement that, we'll have to give staff direction to coordinate with WizBang to put that plan together, and then, you know, hopefully staff can work with you to do a phased approach, because we do, even though I talked about people feeling handcuffed or limited because of limited resources, this is a huge opportunity. And so I think we'll have to see what that next step looks like, see what the fee is for that and we'll have a discussion of how can that be paid for, because there are other agencies that we expend funds to, but this is something that will be Grover specific. So I've got some things running around in my head right now regarding how do we pay for this. But I think to give staff that direction, I think, is ultimately where we want to go. But again, great presentation, and we appreciate you doing this, and I'm sure it was at a discounted rate. And quite honestly, I think that I'm just going to say this. I think Grover Beach and Whiz Bang, this could be a great partnership, because I know that you are somewhat a young, hungry firm, and we are a young city that's looking for tremendous opportunities and just a way to communicate our message so that we can bloom, you know, sooner rather than later. So I'd like to see the city bloom while I'm either on the council or still living here. So.
Well, thank you again. This was a great opportunity for us. And I guess if there's one thought, you're spending...
Plow through these goals. I think now that we have had the SWOT analysis and actually some positioning and some creative ideas, I think it's really incumbent upon us to now take a look at the goals and see how we integrate that. And I think this is certainly something that we're going to build on so staff can put together a budget, and hopefully we can be very focused in the goals that we give. And I know staff has provided some recommended goals, but what I'd like to do, there's a few things, because I really believe we want to be continuous and continue to build on what we've done, but there's some very essential questions I think we need to ask of ourselves. And the first is, now understanding what we've accomplished, understanding the information provided by WhizBang, are we headed in the right direction? Can we be responsive to whatever those emerging trends might be? You know, it's eco, tourism, you know, green technologies, broadband, because I know that the president of the federal government want to talk about fiber to home and trying to fund those efforts. So can we be responsive to those? Can we capitalize on our strengths and seize opportunities? And so I think we need to ask ourselves the first question. Based on what we've heard tonight, do we feel comfortable with what we've been doing over the last, let's say, 2 years? I would go back further than that, but let's keep it in a proper context. So anyone want to jump in here? And I think when I say that, we can look at the FY 9 and 10 goals and say, okay, what have we accomplished? Do we want to continue on this path? And the first one is economic development. Do we feel like we're heading in the right direction? Do we need to do more?
I think we've come a long ways. I think we've implemented some good things, and I think we've had our focus in the right place. I think there's a whole lot more we could do, and a whole lot of that is actually a marketing communication piece that's just been missing. I still really would like to see that there is someone who is focused on building relationships with the business community, who's focused on pulling the business community together and hearing from the business community on a regular basis, meeting with the business community on a regular basis, working with the chamber to do that, and making sure that we're...
I think it's all a big part of it.
I agree. So I wrote some things down here. Maybe it's easier for us to react to, and I know that staff was suggesting a goal, and looks like some task underneath that, and... I would agree. I think we all believe economic development. I would support that we need to make sure that's still our top priority. Are you okay with that?
Well, I think the message we got tonight from our presenters tells us that we need to do that, because we now are developing something we can sell if we follow our current economic trends that we've been following the last 4, 5, 6 years. We are positioning ourselves to be able to take a website and do a Facebook and do a Twitter and sell Grover Beach as it is and as it's about to become. So
okay.
I think we ought to do that, and we should follow through with these young ladies to get us a social website up,
okay.
Social media marketing.
Great. So here's kind of how I was trying to structure this, give us a little direction, was that economic development – would continue to be our number one goal. Staff had a bullet here that says complete the city's entitlement process for the Beachfront Lodge and Conference Center project. And I think that's a good bullet to keep. So the Beachfront Lodge and the Conference Center would be the first. Then the second would be the technology, the mass technology master plan. And I don't know if I'd want to say identify funding sources. I think I'd like to say implement phase one of the technology master plan. I think we want this to be action oriented. The third I would say is, I was actually thinking redevelop visitor serving node, which is between 4th and the beach, and also the downtown district. So we've started on that. So we've got a project that's going now. I think the downtown is being designed, and so let's get that complete. I think that would be a good goal. And I had thought about land assemblage or acquisition, because I think there's a unique opportunity that's out there. And this weekend I ate at Me and Z's, the new Mexican restaurant.
Great place.
Great food, great location, and it was great pretty service. Full on Saturday. And so there is a lot on the vacant car lot on 3rd and Grand in an image in Slo County and in the market area. And that would include the website. That would include automation. And I think all those things you talked about gets put onto that in that first priority. And I think that's five doable tasks over the next 2 years.
So
how does everyone feel about that?
Could you clarify again, the community development, ones under community development, complete preparation, and those you were putting under economic development. Is that right?
No, I wasn't.
No. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Could you give me the two that you were putting? There were two that you just added.
Well, I added. They're not on staff's list. This is just a recommendation.
Okay.
Because I'm really trying to think in terms of economic development. What does that mean for us, and what are some tangible things we can do? And I mean, the idea of, and I think we can probably leave community development if we're talking about this West Grand Avenue master plan, and planning is great, but action.
Yes.
Right. So I think I'll get to that.
Okay. So what were the other two then that you were putting in here? I just didn't quite catch it.
Well, I was thinking, I wanted to say redevelop the visitor serving node, which is between, 4th down to the beach, and then the downtown district, which I think we do, and I think that was talked about in their presentation this evening. And we have to, I think our land use settlement kind of defined what's downtown.
Good.
So I think there's a connection there. Mm-hmm. And I think the one that's going to be most difficult, I had talked about land assemblage, and that's sort of something I wanted to get everybody's take on. And do we want to try it? I know San Luis Obispo has been very effective. And Rio Grande apparently has been very effective in acquiring properties in the redevelopment areas and doing land banking or partnering with the private sector. And I know we've contemplated this, but we haven't made a lot of progress on it. So I don't know how everyone feels about that.
Well, at first, I think it's a good idea. We could, if we have the money to do it, there's a lot of sub-used properties, particularly north of 4th Street, west of 4th Street and north back toward San Luis Obispo that could be acquired if we had the money and could marshal and put together and offer out to developing community, to developers or builders or business people. I think they're all...
Yeah, or maybe even a better way is to come up with a land assemblage strategy.
Yeah, maybe that's first.
I think that's sort of saying, where are there opportunities? What can we do?
Yeah, good.
And then how could that be funded?
Yeah, we should start with
that. That way we aren't saying go out and buy land. We're saying let's put together a strategy.
Because we've looked at that. I mean, I think we are all pretty much in agreement mm-hmm. that that's what we wanted to do, but how are we going to do it?
It seems like that's all part of the issue of having someone whose finger is on the pulse of the business community. That's all part of that same communication package. I'm not saying combine them. I'm agreeing that those all mm-hmm. work together. Mm-hmm. That's all part of the same important issue.
Okay. So I think sounds like we've got some consensus on economic development remaining the top priority, mm-hmm. with five tasks or five issue areas where I think staff can maybe develop some wording around those. Bob, that sound good?
Mayor, did I hear you saying these five things are things we already have in motion? We're not adding any new development.
I think that the
one funding would be an issue, and completion of these is going to be a real issue.
Yeah, and I think the Beachfront Lodge is certainly something that's a continuation.
Oh, yes, sure.
The technology master plan is a continuation. We have a plan. We know that we've submitted for funding.
Agreed.
However, I think it's important enough that we really need to say if we're not successful at a federal level, and I know the city manager and I have talked to someone from Muni Services and said, hey, identify what are some of the options for funding phase one at a minimum. I mean, because they, again, 135 acres of industrial land. We hear the business owners now, they've confirmed what we suspected, that there's not very good connectivity. And the real irony in all of that to me is we have the wholesaler. The Trans-Pacific Fiber comes and lands in Grover Beach. The facility's in our front yard, and yet we've got businesses who are saying we have limited or bad access or connection. Yeah. If that isn't the irony of all ironies, So I just think that, and I know staff has got to use careful wording, and I respect that, but I think we need to say, you know, let's talk about implementation of phase one by 2011, 2012. And if that means we need to rearrange some priorities or shift funds, then I think that's a discussion we need to have, and we need to have that during the budget hearing process. You know, I'm not trying to pile on. Move down to, before we had streets as 1A, and then we had utilities as 2A and public safety as 3A. Do we like that order? And I was asking because I was wondering if it, well, how does everyone feel about streets? Is it still 1A or would it be the second priority?
So what document are we looking at, Mr. Mayor? This?
I know, I'm confusing you. I'm trying to go off of the existing, the goals for F910.
Community, all right.
Because staff gave us a list, but there's no prioritization to the list staff has given.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay, so I'm looking at, there was 1A, economic development.
Yes.
And then there was another 1A, which was streets.
Yes, okay.
Which was... You guys need this?
No, I have a copy of it. I just wasn't aware. I had it thinking of Martin. So.
I think streets should stay 1A. Absolutely.
I agree. Because that's what people want. And that's one of the things that's driving our negative image.
Yeah, plus we have all the engineering done, mm-hmm. and the funding for it to complete Grand Avenue and the streets off of Grand Avenue. And to shift away from it, I think, would be counterproductive.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think your idea of having these neighborhood meetings in relation to getting that accomplished, how we're going to approach it, I still think that's an excellent idea. I think we ought to continue to pursue that.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that we need to put on the action.
Yeah, if I could mm-hmm. just have one more moment, Mr.
Sure.
Mayor. If we stay with 1AA streets and hook up with these presenters tonight and get a good media blitz going with social media concepts, which are pretty cheap in total stuff, we might find we could sell good streets and move that toward economic development by getting enough response out of having good streets and having a good media blitz going. At least that's my hope.
Okay, so then I know this is getting somewhat confusing, but I want to do this, though, because the existing goal, I think I finally found my footing here.
Okay.
So the existing goal for streets is to develop a city street rehabilitation program which provides for smooth, there we go. Someone's been working with me long.
It is the same thing.
I think it changed develop to implement.
Yeah, whatever.
So do we feel that we have a program? Staff?
Mr. Mayor, I think one of the things that staff recognized that we needed to do was probably to readdress. We had before worked on coming up with a long-term strategy, and we really need to address the long-term strategy again, and I think that's what we were looking at.
Okay.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Well, I'm not sure we can. Under the work program that we have right now, streets were 1A. Mm-hmm. The first item, and I'm going back and forth here, so the first item talked about completing a long-term strategy for funding and rehabilitation of local streets, which you really have not done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we would all agree that that should remain.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
Correct.
The second was to develop a demonstration project for narrowing of Long Branch Avenue and Newport Avenue. And I feel like we've made substantial progress on Long Branch, but mm-hmm. not Newport.
You're looking at the work program now?
Yeah. Yes.
The existing.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So I think the one we haven't done, we should keep.
Yes.
Okay. Everyone agree?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Two was a develop a demonstration project for the narrowing of Long Branch Avenue in Newport, and I feel like we've pretty much done Long Branch. It's just a matter of implementing it now.
Yes.
The
forum is there.
So I guess we're kind of half done.
Yeah. Or third
done. The third one, I believe, is the developing traffic calming projects to improve the pedestrian safety at Margarita, Manhattan and 10th, Oak Park, Boulevard in Brighton, and other locations as appropriate. And I believe that with the traffic calming on Margarita, I think we had a discussion about Manhattan Avenue and 10th, and I think the direction for the council was none to pursue that at this time. Oak Park and Brighton, I think we had that discussion, and it seemed like it was not appropriate mm-hmm. at this time. And then other locations as appropriate, and I think 4th, and Atlantic City is something mm-hmm. that is being done through, is recommending that we include update the payment management system and then continue to implement Americans with Disability standards.
Putting in curb returns, additional sidewalks, et cetera. The implementation of the update to the pavement management system is really necessary, we feel. It really needs to be updated on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and I think it's 5 years mm-hmm. now, and in order to get us a good read on the condition of the streets, we need to do that.
Okay. I think there's two things, in my view, that need to be explicitly stated in here. We talked about the long-term strategy, but we have committed to a certain funding level of streets in the past, and I think that number has gone between 500,000 and 800,000.
Yes.
So I don't know, how does everyone feel? Do we want to explicitly state that here, or do we continue funding streets at past levels, provided funds are available or something to that effect?
I was going to say, if it's possible.
I think
we could say past level at a pro rata basis, depending on income ratio. That we got leads. Well, that's where we are, basically. If you got money, you can do it. So if we get one-third less money, we do one-third less streets. If we get two and a half times money, we're doing two and a half times streets, maybe, or something.
Okay.
That's one way to say it, anyhow, is my suggestion.
Okay.
Thought, not a suggestion.
Yeah. So I don't know who's capturing this, but good luck. And then I think the way staff said it was talking about Americans with Disability standards, but in a way I was thinking we really need to talk about providing a continuous network of sidewalks to facilitate or allow for the safe walking of the community or something like to that effect.
Yeah. To accommodate pedestrians and ADA.
Thank you. Yeah.
For all pedestrians.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think I think we're learning that it's not just about doing the streets, it's about trying to provide sidewalks when their funds are available.
I have one more statement on sidewalks are torn up in the streets, and there's roots out in the streets, so to the point we really didn't need street bumps in Margaret, they were already there. So I would like to say that, anyway, my point is that we need to focus a whole lot on repairing the damage done by the streets in there and getting them out of getting them out and cut the losses, if you will.
Okay, I think that's the concept of when we're talking about not only installing sidewalks, but maybe an assessment of those that are significantly damaged by tree growth. Because I think right now we do have a requirement that you have deep root barriers, so we minimize that potential of happening. So. Okay.
Minimize lawsuits too. That's a lawsuit about
got it.
That, but on my
got
street.
It. Okay.
I had one other comment on that too. I'm wondering if I don't know if bike paths are included anywhere else.
I believe it was under parks as to what they're recommending.
Right. Okay.
But bike lanes is
bike lanes.
Definitely.
I mean bike lanes. That's what I'm meaning. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. And that's a really good suggestion because I would say that it should be our goal to stripe all designated bike lanes as shown in our circulation element and the feasibility study. Because I know we've been waiting to do this bicycle facilities master plan, and it dawned on me yesterday is if we can find the funds and it means shifting things around to go out and say stripe the streets and do it now, I think it would be a community benefit.
It would.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes bike lanes are a source of funding that we might not get otherwise.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, great point.
I thought that was covered during our trails discussion that we would try to stripe the bike trails as part of that whole concept.
Well, it was in the feasibility study, but it's not embedded.
It's not
in
a goal.
Our,
okay.
But it should be under the streets. I guess.
All right. I understand. I just wondered.
The bike lanes, bike paths are another story, but yeah. Bike lanes.
But under the bicycle master plan, weren't we tying that all together with the all the bike lanes?
Yeah.
But I think it should be under the
I think
the
so.
Streets.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Just
good,
discussed it on, maybe.
I think it's a good link.
Yeah. Okay, so we had utilities and infrastructure, water supply under the FY 09 and 10 goals as the 2A. That's 2A. I don't know why it's 2A. Okay, as 2.
That was our suggestion.
4 under what?
If you
under the staff recommendation on under tonight's packet attachment 2.
So
under utilities and infrastructure.
Okay, utilities, I got it.
So we would get rid of, their suggestion would get rid of 1 and 2 and just have one goal?
You would have one goal and then you'd end up with those 4 implementation measures.
Okay.
How does everyone feel about that? So basically the new goal would read, and let me make sure. Provide for a modern utility infrastructure system, one that anticipates future demand for water distribution, water collection, wastewater collection, stormwater collection, and drainage. I think the one suggestion I would make on this is to provide for a modern utility infrastructure system that anticipates. I think it's just better to speak active. So everyone okay with that as the goal?
Mm-hmm.
And then the bullets that are underneath it?
Put that at 2A?
Well, does everyone want to keep it at 2A?
It talks about utility undergrounding, so do we need to say something in here about the utility undergrounding we've been working on? Or is that just...
Do we want to keep that in there? Do we want to say... I think we adopted our utility undergrounding master plan, but we didn't talk about implementation.
We've implemented in a few places. We've got a plan for a few places where there's... We've done some work with PG&E to get the ball rolling on a few projects.
Well, you know, undergrounding, if you're going to do it on a citywide basis, is going to take a service district to get the fund and the bonding and that sort of thing. We don't have the funds to just take it out of general funds.
No, and to do it,
we're going to have to have a special district assessment. The voters are going to have to approve it. I just don't think we're going to get that done in this climate. So I think
that the how this fits together is we have a master plan. We've identified those areas that we want to form as 20A or possibly 20B districts. So we already have that part of it done. So I know that you're right. I think we've already talked about forming these different districts, but we haven't. We need to decide: do we want to take the next step, and do we want to take the next step over the next 2 years? I think that's really the question.
Is it feasible?
Well, how much money do we have in the in lieu fee program?
What is it?
100? I think it's closer to 200,000.
200,000.
And do we have any estimates of what it might take to underground those utility, those overhead lines that are between
400,000.
Okay. And that's based on whose estimate?
That was from the city engineer.
So we haven't taken the step to get a contractor to give us a real number, because I would say in no disrespect, Jim, but we are finding that the contractors are, gosh, at least 20% lower than the engineer's estimates. And I would hope that that would continue to hold true.
Well, for a while. How long did it take us to get to 200,000 in the budget?
Probably 2 or 3 years since we did the in lieu fee. Which was in 2007, so that's about 3 years ago.
I was going to say 3 to 4 years.
But it slowed down.
It's tied to the rate of development. Mm-hmm.
Well, for one, I would side with the mayor that we ought to do that section if we can and make it a goal. We have half of it, and in lieu fees will keep coming in, and we'll have it a goal and do it when we can.
Well, and better yet, we got a large project coming in, so typically, I'm sure staff is saying, let's make it a condition of approval. But here we are. We're saying we're trying to partner. We're trying to induce private investment. And yet we're going to fall back on an old method of saying, hey, we want you to be here, but we want you to put in all these improvements and pay all these fees. And, at some point, we have to get smart about this. And even if we say this is a $300,000 expense, Pacifica, and we've got $200,000 or $150,000, you match it, and we can get these lines underground sooner rather than later, because Rule 20B allows us to take more control than waiting on a old stodgy company like PG&E. Truth hurts. We heard about that earlier.
Let's do it.
I think we need to keep it in the pipeline, definitely. Okay. I mean, even if it doesn't happen in the next 2 years, I think we need to keep
safety of the community's residents and visitors by providing for adequate police, fire, and communication facilities and personnel. And that's what we've adopted. And under the work program, which is on page 2, it was to continue to work with the City of Rio Grande and other partners for consolidation. The second was to develop a plan to locate a South County public training facility. We had 3, which is to increase staffing in the police department by 1 officer in the first year and 1 additional officer in the second year, as funding permits. And 4th was to develop a joint fire equipment replacement program with the Rio Grande. So, Bob, on these items, have we accomplished number 4?
Essentially, we have a cooperative agreement that will be carried forward with the JPA for joint purchasing of equipment.
Okay. Have any of the other bullets that were for the FY 09 and 10 been accomplished?
Obviously, the staffing, we weren't able to do that. This past year, the only thing that we were able to keep the staffing at current complement, but obviously the budgeting didn't permit additional officers. It's unlikely that it will in the future. We are continuing to work with, as we know, with Arroyo Grande, and consolidation is expected to take place at the turn of the fiscal year. So essentially, number one would be completed at that time.
Okay.
What about the South County Public Safety Training?
Really, that's just been a discussion that we've had. Really have made no progress with that, other than just an ongoing discussion.
Keep it as a goal.
Okay. So we want to keep that?
I would think so.
Okay.
Is that important? I guess my question is, keep it as a goal if it's important to our joint chiefs out there. I'd like to.
Essentially, that was a, first of all, just for clarification, that's one of the implementation measures. Your goal is the broad statement.
Develop a plan, so. Let's just develop a plan, not build.
Yeah, and I was wondering on the goal, the broad statement, equipped to respond to any situation that arises.
Well, shouldn't we say trained and equipped and not high quality? That's kind of a subjective standard.
Okay. What you're suggesting, trained and equipped?
Yeah, adequately trained and equipped.
Then we got community facilities, so. Okay. I think staff kind of got the direction of that. So we certainly want to. I guess you're saying we've kind of moved into the implementation of the consolidation, Bob? Is that what your,
well, right.
what your thought process is?
Right. And what I'm saying is that obviously we're on schedule to complete that by the turn of the fiscal year. Once that does take place, then number one is completed.
Okay. So then the extension of that is to, you're saying, accomplish a smooth transitional period for...
Right.
Okay. Because I'm wondering, the second bullet talks about building upon positive relationships, and I don't know, is that really something that needs to be said? Isn't that sort of something in normal operating procedures? I'm not sure.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I just wonder, when I went on a ride-along, one of the things that... some of the officers shared with me is that they were kind of excited about the fact that each of them was being assigned, or that some of them were being assigned to specific neighborhoods to reach out to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm assuming that that's what they're talking about.
That's
I'm not
true.
Sure, but I think that's kind of a neat goal. And I think especially right now when crime is higher, when times are tough, I like that.
Yeah. And I think that probably falls under the first bullet, which talks about maintaining staffing levels. And I think that was staff's attempt at saying, while it was a laudable goal to say one officer in the first year and an additional officer, funding has been constrained and it's difficult for us to do.
Right.
And so you're basically saying the recalibrated goal is to maintain staffing levels. And I think that... I'm sure the chief will continue to do the community policing, which means assigning officers to certain districts or areas in the city to do those things. Okay.
So I understand then. Are you suggesting that the second bullet be removed?
Yeah, I believe it's something that we already do, and so I'm not... sure. If
I agree, I
and that they have, which is kind
I
of
see.
A good idea. I just
no, I think that's something we definitely want to buy into. So to kind of wrap this up and to make sure we're all on the same page, so the goal will be somewhat modified. I think staff's got that direction. It was
right.
I had suggested something, but I think Councilmember Myers had another suggestion. And so if there's a way to come up with something that doesn't have these high fancy words that no one can quite qualify, I'm okay with that. Then we would keep the first bullet, which is maintaining staffing levels in the police department, and the rest you can read. The second one, we believe it's normal operating procedure, so it's really not necessary to mention here. The third is to accomplish a smooth transitional period for the public safety personnel during the first year of the Fire Joint Powers Authority. And then the fourth bullet is sure all fire suppression personnel receive appropriate training for new aerial apparatus within 6 months after receiving the unit. and then we would keep, develop a plan to locate the South County Public Safety Training Facility.
May I ask one more question?
Yes.
Is there a reason why we call out the staffing levels in the police department but not in the fire department? Is that because it's now going to be under the authority of the JPA?
I think once that is, yes, that will be set by the JPA.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So under the existing goals, 4A was planning and land use, and it was to develop plans consistent with the community's vision for the future for balanced land uses and economic and community vitality. Oh, so staff is recommending a change to that one. Provide the public and decision makers with the form information and facilitation of planning, building, and housing policies that implements the city's vision. Does everyone have a chance to take another look at that? So the question is, are we satisfied with the way it's stated under the existing goals, or you compare it to what's proposed?
Didn't we somewhere in there have something about rezoning two areas from to visitor serving? Where did I see that I'm not seeing?
Well, under the existing goals we had, I believe this was the work program, was to complete the land use settlement update, mm-hmm. and that was done. And that would include those two areas that were rezoned, I believe.
Okay.
And then number two was to prepare the West Grand Avenue specific plan, which staff has recommended that we maintain, and I would agree. And then complete an annual report, and I like the fact that we've completed that, and it's now just become an ongoing. It's actually a state
right.
requirement, so
right.
we don't need to keep that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm okay with the two bullets they're recommending, but I just really feel that the current goal reads a little broader and a little more forward thinking. How's everyone doing? Okay? All right. Finance. The goal was to develop programs and strategies to increase the revenue of the city, to give the city an increased opportunity to address identical issues. That's existing, and then I believe staff is recommending that goal change. Do I have that somewhere? And they said develop programs and strategies to increase the revenue to the city, to give the city opportunities to address current service requirements.
They just change identified for current services, basically. That book sounds okay to me.
To address current service requirements.
Or should there be a shortened version that says increase city revenues to give the city opportunities to address current service requirements? What's the pleasure of the council?
Well, I think we need to address, I think it needs to be addressed.
Should we say current and future service requirements?
Yeah, service requirements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like the staff's, the goals here anyway, F1, 2, 12 goals.
So I think current and future, I think that's a good addition.
Okay.
All right.
So we're on finance, right?
Right.
Yes.
And the current work program had identified uses of additional voter-approved sales tax initiative and determined split. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we've completed that, right. So that goes away. Identify and examine possible revenue sources for this city. Complete amendment to the business tax certificate.
There was none.
But in staff's new recommendation, they're saying, based on, you guys keep qualifying everything, based on information from the water rate study, implement rate adjustments after conducting Proposition 218 hearing, update the cost allocation plan and the master fee study, and then review and implement online registration for parks and recreation programs as budget permits. Of course it's as budget permits.
Everything is.
So, okay, so I don't have a problem with the three bullets that are laid out here. Do we want to keep the identify and examine possible resources for the city? Bob, was there any thought process as to why that without two or three were not recommended to be brought forward?
In looking again at finance, first of all, the complete amendments to the business tax certificate program really is a policy decision that the council may want to reconsider. We've reviewed that. Obviously, if that's something that you want to do, you know, the time is running out for 2010 because that's something that takes the general vote of the people. And I suppose the only other reason that we didn't bring it forward is what we got here is what we thought staff could handle from a work implementation point of view.
Okay. That's fair enough. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. That really helped.
You have to go through a process whereby you actually notify each of the property owners that the rate is intended to go up, and they actually are balloted by mail. And it's a process whereby it's actually, in order for the rates to be adjusted, you have to set a hearing and you tally those protests. If you ended up with protests that exceed 51% of the rate adjustment, the rate cannot go forward.
Okay, so then the ratepayers have an opportunity to weigh in.
Absolutely.
Okay. Then I'm good with this.
Okay. I do have two suggestions on the first bullet, though. Nowhere does it say we're going to complete the water rate study.
Should.
We need to say that. And second is, you need to reword this because when you, it says based on information from the water rate study, implement rate adjustments. We want to consider whether we change water rates. I think to go forward with it like this really sets the council and the city up for scrutiny as if we've already made a predetermination before the study is complete.
And I'd like to make a clarification. The water rate study should be done before June 30th.
Okay. Okay.
And so that's, I guess, then, if we change this, the wording here, then I wouldn't have had to have asked that question.
Yes. So I still say, you know, okay, if you want to leave it based on the information from that watery study, that we would consider, or we need some language that will kind of, okay.
Okay.
Okay, then the second one's fine. The third one is fine. And how are we doing on the review? And how are we doing on, let's get rid of review, implementation.
We're actually making progress. We're working on it on an ongoing basis. While I was out this past week, I saw that you were looking at various programs.
Okay. So I'd like to, I hope I have the agreement with my colleagues, is to say to implement online registration for parks and recreation in this fiscal year.
Okay.
Okay. Opportunities to continue to promote the creation of If we're going to say affordable housing, you got to define it, because we will get, you guys will all have to keep answering that question over and over. When you say affordable housing, what do you mean? Workforce housing, senior housing, special needs housing, all of the above?
All levels 1, 2, and 3.
Provide
affordable per Gover Beach standards, affordable per county standards, affordable per federal standards.
Creation of a from my perspective, and maybe Bruce, you might want to weigh in, but from my perspective, what we're trying to ensure is that our wide variety of housing opportunities are provided. And maybe that's a little too extensive.
Sort of like the current goal set reads?
Yeah.
So I like it where it includes the senior housing, moderate, low, I think. Mm-hmm. I like all that. Stop.
Okay.
That's just including, it doesn't say limited to, so that looks all right to me, the last year's.
Yeah.
Okay. So under the fiscal year 09 and 10 work program, we had, looks like, 5 items. One was to use the redevelopment agency residential set-aside to partner with a nonprofit affordable housing organization and break ground on a project in fiscal year 2008 and 9. That was completed. Yay. Congratulations. Thanks, everyone. Good job. Identify an additional site for a second affordable housing project. That was done.
Yep.
Nice job. Inventory city-owned property. I think that was done, if I'm not mistaken. Develop a mobile home conversion ordinance. That was done.
Cool.
And complete update of housing element and implement housing element programs. That was done. Wow, I feel like I'm at the NBA in the shooting contest, and you guys made 5 for 5 in that one. Nice job.
Yeah.
And then their staff is recommending 2 new goals this year, which is the complete development of affordable housing project at 10th and Farrell Road. And then the second is to implement the first phase of 2 years of the recently updated housing element. How does everyone feel about that? So I think I think the direction of the staff is to go back to the goal as stated now and then to add these 2 bullets underneath that.
Right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, if that's what they're doing.
Transportation and parking.
And, Mr. Mayor, I want to indicate to you that in terms of what we had recommended in coming forward with staff, we felt that transportation had been covered in other areas.
We talked about completing the site plan for the train station, which was done, but also the initial review for it, which has not been done. So how do we fold that back in, and where do you put it? So if you can come back with a suggestion on that, that would help. Okay, 2 more. 8:41. We will be out here before 9. Policy, administration, and city employees. And there really wasn't, I guess, what the current FY09 and 10 says is, 1, develop long-term policies to guide the city in its actions and administer these policies in an effective and fair manner to benefit the city's citizens and visitors. And 2 was to develop a caring, motivated, and skilled city workforce, increasing dedication, knowledge, longevity, satisfaction, and contribution of city employees. And under that, there was a couple of For policy administration, the long term was to refurbish City Hall. And so short term was to complete a City Hall facelift. Staff, how do you feel? Do you feel that's complete, or is that ongoing?
Well, obviously we're going to have to continue to address the City Hall facility. And we have completed that, the first phase. And it is something that we're going to need to continue to address. We didn't specifically call it out, however, in terms of one of our specific goals. You may want to have that added.
Okay. So this is just to say continue, or just, I guess we just want to say complete City Hall facelift, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, then the second B was to consider energy retrofit to City Hall and other facilities with stimulus funding. And I think we've taken a huge step in that direction as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a continuation that needs to follow through or be carried through. And then there was the discussion about undertaking and updating the city's website and related technology to improve delivery of services. And I think we've said let's move this under economic development.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then we had under, for city employees, still under policy administration, to initiate a workforce development committee consisting of employees.